Welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship, a virtual gathering of believers seeking to better understand the Word of God, with your hosts, Derek and Sharon Gilbert, and Sam T. Doxson. Good morning and welcome to the Gilbert House Fellowship. It's Sunday, October 25th, 2015. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and we are so glad you've chosen to join us this morning. This is take two for us because the first take, I had to ask that Derek started all over again because my brain just went in five different directions at the same time. And trust me, my brain does well to go one direction.
I think most people would be happy to have the power of your brain going.
Oh, no, they don't want this brain. Trust me, it's old. It can't be upgraded anymore.
Yes, we can add a little more memory, perhaps, when the technology gets there. But yeah, the operating systems, I'm right there with you.
Praise God. You know,
we got a couple of old computers that we're doing the same thing with. The little machine here that serves up the music theme every week is an old Acer netbook that
we've
switched over to Linux. And we've got an old Mac, a couple of old Macs over at the office that are still
old gray-haired Macs.
Yeah.
Really crabby little Macs.
The old iMac, that's 11 years old, and that tower is vintage 06, 07, so that's
somewhere in there,
old.
So yeah.
Yeah. So we keep recycling them, and some of this audio equipment here, we're doing fine, old eBay fine. So
I know, praise God. You get a new chair, though.
Yeah.
Derek has a squeaky chair that you probably hear now and then that...
Yeah, I've tightened everything I can tighten. I've lubed it. It's just and this was a Goodwill purchase, I think.
Yeah,
and the one you're sitting on, we rescued from
a neighbor. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we love recycling things.
Yeah.
Look, if there's a way to save money and a way to recycle it, we do it.
Yeah, well, it's part of being good stewards here.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, anyway,
it also helps for those times when you really need to go out and buy a brand new computer.
When we actually do need something, right.
Yeah.
But it, in fact, we're going to touch on that to some degree today as where your priorities should lie as far as being thankful for the blessings that the Lord has given us.
That is true. And I just want to thank the Lord for you. Seriously, every day with you is such a joy. And I have learned so much about life and learned to appreciate life and I'm so grateful to the Lord for you.
Well, I just repeat what my dad told me more than once. He pulled me aside. He wanted to make sure the message sank in. Son, you married up. he was right about that. I miss him.
Me too.
Looking forward to.
Me too. One day getting to be together with all of our loved ones. And
yeah.
Boy, what a hootenanny we're going to have then.
Amen. Well, let's open with a word of prayer today. Father, we thank you for drawing us together from... Well, wherever we are across the world through this technology that you've made available to us and with which you've blessed us. I mean, blessed us with the capability to produce this audio and share it with the world. Lord, we know that you don't need us to do this, that there are others out there who are more gifted and more capable. And so we are humbled, Lord, by your decision to direct us down this path. And we pray, Father, that as we study and as we learn, that we give you the glory and that all good things that come from this, Father, we give to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And that's kind of the point of the opening chapter that we're going to read today in the book of Deuteronomy. Just a kind of a reminder, you know, from whom all good things flow, as the doxology says, beginning with verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 26. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And again, we're talking about the name theology. That's... often in the Old Testament, the name is personified.
Yeah, Hashem.
Yeah. So when he says the Lord, ultimately we find that where the Lord chooses to make his name dwell, of course, is Mount Zion. So verse 3, and you shall go to the priest who was in office at that time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And Arameans, of course, were Syrians,
mm-hmm.
And you know, again, I think it's still commonly believed that when Abraham, who is, this could refer to Jacob or to Abraham, but most people think that
I think it's probably Abraham.
Yeah. Came from Ur of the Chaldeans. Then there was an Ur known to be in what is now Iraq near the Persian Gulf. But there is also an Ur located in what is now southern Turkey. And based on the study and the clues given to us in Scripture, I think that is the correct Ur, because that's near the town of Haran, which is named
for
Abram's father.
Yes.
So, or was Haran his brother? Terah was his father.
Terah was his father, yes.
Right, right. Haran was his brother. Anyway, so verse 5, a wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid on us hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our afflictions, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. And again, just as a reminder, you know, that this is sacrificial giving, the first fruits of the land, which requires some faith that, okay, we're giving God this first basket of fruit, which means we're going to trust that he's going to provide for us all that we need after this first harvest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Verse 12, when you have finished paying all the tithe of your produce in the third year, which is the year of tithing, giving it to the Levite, the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that you may eat within your towns and be filled. And this is a callback, by the way, to Leviticus 27. Every third year, they were to bring a tithe and put it up in the storehouse, and that was to be used for the poor, the fatherless, and the orphaned. Yeah.
And now we rely upon the federal government
exactly,
to do that.
Exactly. And you know, not to get off onto discussion of politics, but that is the main difference between those who truly follow the Bible and those who claim to be Christians and want the government to enforce this kind of thing.
Yeah.
This is all supposed to be voluntary.
Yeah.
Even in the New Testament.
Well, exactly. And churches can do this.
Sure.
You can have food banks that are run locally.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a little bit of work, but it's worth it.
Calling back to my dad again, you know, that was one of the greatest honors he ever received. And, of course, he didn't live to see it, but I know him well enough to know that he would have considered this a greater honor than the patent he was awarded by the U.S. Patent Office.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Getting his name put on the food bank that he and a couple of other retired fellows down there at their church put together and organized so well at other churches in the area. So here, go to these guys over here because they've got it down. And to their credit, when the government came to them and said, we'd like you to take government cheese, they looked at the requirements that they would have had to comply with in order to get the free stuff from the government. And they said, no, we don't want to do that.
No. And by the same token, you and I have often spoken about preparing for the day when the grocery stores have empty shelves and we need to provide from what is in the storehouses of our own homes.
Yes.
We do this we recommend this not just to take care of your own family, but that you can also share with others as you share the gospel.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's because our society has changed so radically over the last 100 years where, excuse me, I'm going to sneeze. Sleeping with the windows open. Where we used to can our own foods, we used to put up our own food, especially in a rural area where in the wintertime you might not be able to get to town. You had to be able to feed yourself from what you had on hand for quite a period of time. You were raised that way?
I was raised that way. And when I lived in Nebraska and farmed there with my ex-husband, we had to always have a couple of months' worth of food in the house.
Yeah. And my mother was raised the same way. They lived in the middle of North Dakota. They were several miles out of town. And North Dakota, when that winter hit, well, in Nebraska, rural Nebraska, you can sometimes be snowed in for.
Very much so.
So, but I was reading a column today by a retired newspaperman, Fred Reed, who is a curmudgeon. I love curmudgeons because they've actually got the best worldview, I think. You know, guys like Lou Dobbs, Fred Reed, you know,
John Dvorak.
John C. Dvorak, yeah, guys like that. And he was talking about the change that's taken place in America during his lifetime, where we are now a nation where masculinity and self-reliance are considered dangerous.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, we want you to depend on the hive for everything. Fuse blows, call an electrician. You know, tire goes flat, you know, call a tow truck. But he says that here's the thing. If the just-in-time deliveries, we've talked about this before, mm-hmm. to the grocery stores get interrupted within 2 days or within a week, New Yorkers will be eating each other. Because they're
yeah, and honestly, we're going to get to that sort of curse
yes,
coming
yes.
here soon. Talking about, oh gosh, brain, again, going five different directions, you were talking about something, and I've lost it, whatever it was.
Well, just feel free to chime in when it pops back in.
I don't know when it's going to come back in.
I could just
probably
see
never.
The little circling disc.
I know. I'm just going to have to erase some files, I think.
Yes.
Okay. Not the Doctor Who files.
Verse 12 again. When you have finished paying all the tithe of your produce in the third year, which is the year of tithing, giving it to the Levite, the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat within your towns and be filled, then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the sacred portion out of my house, and moreover, I have given it to the Levite, the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all your commandment that you have commanded me. The sacred portion. This was a holy obligation.
Yes.
Huh. And according that you commanded me, I have not transgressed any of your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten of the tithe while I was mourning. I might have come in contact with a dead body and then be unclean. Or removed any of it while I was unclean, or offered any of it to the dead. Again, saying you know that you've not ritually contaminated this tithe that you're giving to the priests and to the fatherless and the
yes.
sojourners. Yeah.
By the way, I remembered what I was going to talk about. So once you finish this verse, I'll say it.
Okay.
I have obeyed.
Line
of 14. I have obeyed
the voice. I have done all that you have commanded me. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God. I have done according to all that you have commanded me. And then verse 15.
Well, you said something a minute ago, and that's why I need to say it now, because I'll lose it again. You were talking about how men and masculinity has gone out of fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And how it's moved to almost, well, you didn't say it, but I thought it. We have moved to a very pagan outlook here in our own country, that you and I were raised to love and obey
mm-hmm.
the leaders of our country. And,
right.
and I still love this country. I think it's got a lot going for it, but still it's moving in a terrible direction. And it reminded me of the movie, the remake of the Wicker Man, which had Nicolas Cage mm-hmm. in it. And it was a female-run hive society where people had to bring in offerings and this and that, because that was how you got a guarantee that your honey and all of your crops were going to be successful year after year. But the few men that were living there were essentially emasculated. They were drones.
Yeah, yeah.
They were there. They were just sitting around. They didn't even talk.
Mm-hmm.
That's the direction that mankind is taking, that the male of our species is being silenced.
Yeah, I think you're right. And we see that in a lot of the entertainment out there. But again, just this sort of message from authority, message from the culture that masculine traits are bad. And we see this a lot in stories that come out every now and again about incidents at schools, like school goes on lockdown because a child shows up at school with a Halloween costume, or kid at a high school asks for chewing gum and suddenly they go on lockdown because somebody thought he said gun. I mean, I'm not making that up. That's a true story. Mm-hmm. Here, a recent headline within 2015. Grief counselors are called in for almost everything. Tag is banned on the school playgrounds to prevent children from being injured. I mean, come on. I mean, I know common sense has to prevail and you don't want kids being hurt unnecessarily. And I'm not recommending that we're, you know, just tough on our kids just for the sake of being tough. But if we wrap them in bubble wrap for their entire lives growing up, and they, once they're set into the world, they're incapable of being self-reliant and independent, but
yeah.
from a perspective of a one of the government elites, that's desirable.
Mm.
That's why they're trying to emasculate the culture. So
verse 15.
Yeah, we don't get uppity.
Sorry about
verse
that. 15,
yeah, sorry. Didn't mean to detour into geopolitics again.
We can't
there,
but help it.
Yeah, can't help it. Deuteronomy 26, verse 15. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people Israel and the ground that you have been that ground that you have given us, as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. This day, the Lord your God commands you to do these statutes and rules. You shall therefore be careful to do them with all your heart and with all your soul. You have declared today that the Lord is your God, and that you will walk in his ways, and keep his statutes and his commandments and his rules, and will obey his voice. And the Lord has declared today that you are a people for his treasured possession, as he has promised you, and that you are to keep all his commandments, and that he will set you in praise and in fame and in honor high above all nations that he has made, and that you shall be a people holy to the Lord your God, as he has promised. Wow. Again, all the nations that he has made. Just a reminder.
And again, this is also part of the war for the Mount of God, the Holy Assembly, the Mounts of Assembly. We see over and over again that there are certain gods, small g, mm-hmm. who have taken control of mounts in that area.
Yes, and there are references throughout Scripture to it. There's one that in one of the Psalms, and I forget which one now, 42 possibly, where the psalm is directed as at the Mount of Bashan. You know, why mm-hmm. are angry? Why are you jealous? Kind of thing. You know, well, it's because Zion is better. That's the God's holy mountain.
And Michael S. Heiser does a wonderful job of addressing this idea of the cosmic mountain and the war for mm-hmm. the cosmic mountain. So we highly recommend him to you once again.
Yeah. And 42 is not correct. If I find it before the end of the day, I'll bring it up again.
Just jump in anytime. Yeah. Deuteronomy 27. Now Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep the whole commandment that I command you today. And on the day you cross over the Jordan to the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall set up large stones and plaster them with plaster. And you shall write on them all the words of this law when you cross over to enter the land that the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you. And when you have crossed over the Jordan, you shall set up these stones, concerning which I command you today, on Mount Ebal, and you shall plaster them with plaster. And there you shall build an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall wield no iron tool on them. You shall build an altar to the Lord your God of uncut stones, and you shall offer burnt offerings on it to the Lord your God, and you shall sacrifice peace offerings, and shall eat there, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, and you shall write on the stones all the words of this law very plainly. Again, reminder, reminder, mm-hmm. reminder.
Yeah.
The Lord is trying to cement this into their brains in a way that he would love for them to continue to obey, but the truth is they don't for very long.
Yeah.
Verse 9, then Moses and the Levitical priests said to all Israel, keep silence and hear, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the voice of the Lord your God, keeping his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today. Remember, God is taking back this land from fallen angels,
right,
and demons.
Yeah.
That day Moses charged the people, saying, when you have crossed over the Jordan, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these shall stand on Mount Ebal for the curse. This is where the law was set up, on mm-hmm. Mount Ebal.
Mm-hmm.
Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. You know, you have to wonder how these, you know, leaders of the tribes felt, well, I don't want to be on the cursed mountain.
Yeah.
How do I have to stand over here?
Yeah, and I did a little digging. It doesn't appear that there was any particular rationale or reason for assigning the tribes to the mountains that they did. It's not like the ones on the cursed mountains were
all,
you know, cursed
really
tribes.
Good.
Or
yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't appear to be any, maybe just drew straws or something. We don't
Could
know,
be.
But it doesn't appear to be any pattern.
And the Levites shall declare to all the men of Israel in a loud voice, cursed be the man who makes a carved or cast metal image, an abomination to the Lord, a thing made by the hands of a craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. This is an sort of calling back and forth from one mountain to the other. In this area, there's a big valley in between it.
Right.
And these are almost like a natural amphitheater. So this would have been an amazing thing to witness. And not only are the tribes, we're talking about 1.5 more than that, maybe even 2 million people, lots of people on these mountains. Yeah. So this must have echoed throughout the valleys in the area. This was an in-your-face to all of the gods, as well as a reminder and an oath sworn by these people.
Yeah, the town of Shechem is in between these two mountains. Gerizim is on the south side of Shechem, and Mount Ebal is just north of Shechem, which is kind of on the shoulders of the two mountains.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right, kind of a natural amphitheater there. Can you just imagine being in the middle and hearing a million people all at once shouting amen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's just incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And amen, of course, means so be it.
Yes.
It's sort of like in Battlestar Galactica where they all said, thus say we all.
Yes.
So say we all.
So say we all, yeah.
Verse 16, cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be anyone who moves his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be anyone who misleads a blind man on the road, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be anyone who perverts the justice due to the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be anyone who lies with his father's wife, because he has uncovered his father's nakedness, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be anyone who lies with any kind of animal, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be anyone who lies with his sister, whether the daughter of his father or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, amen. I'm going to pause here for a second and just say that some reading this may bring up the question, too. One, who did Cain and Abel marry?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're sisters.
Yes.
Sorry, those are the only humans alive. This was during a time when God had not yet put this law into place.
Exactly.
Abraham married Sarai, who became Sarah, probably was his cousin or half-sister.
Half-sister.
Yeah. So this comes at a time when this is relatively new. And why God put this into place could have been genetic.
Mm-hmm.
Could be at this point that genetics was not as diverse a pool to choose from. Therefore, marrying such a close relative would, you know, actually cause genetic abnormalities.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted a robust and healthy people. It could also be for spiritual reasons. Maybe this was something that the pagans in the area were doing left and right.
Well, a lot of the
Egyptians married their sisters.
Yeah, right. Not uncommon. And as were these other things about the lying with animals. I've not done a deep study on this, but I have read that that was not that part of the Baal mythos, or involved him coupling with cattle. You know, so.
Well, many of the ancient gods in the mythologies all over the world, they often lay with their twins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and this is something when Nicole was young and we would read the scriptures together before school in the morning, read a chapter or two just to try to begin learning the process. And we get to some of this stuff and just imagine, you know, 8-year-old, 9-year-old girl, and you're reading about these things and she's going, ew.
It's like, I can just see her.
That face that she made.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's because the Amorites and the Canaanites who lived in the land were doing these things. God wasn't making stuff up and saying, okay, now this thing that you never thought of ever doing, don't do it.
Yeah. These people would be on Jerry Springer today or a show like that, and it would just make them super popular.
Turn them into reality TV show stars.
It would be. Verse 23, cursed be anyone who lies with his mother-in-law. Again, reality TV show.
Yes.
And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be anyone who strikes down his neighbor in secret, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be anyone who takes a bribe to shed innocent blood, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them, and all the people shall say, Amen.
Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy chapter 28, we get into a description of the blessings and kind of a typical format for covenants in that day and age. Verse 1, if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all that you undertake, and he will bless you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground, within the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you shall only go up and not down, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. There's the catch right there.
Mm-hmm.
As we said before, you know, even though David was guilty of crimes enough that the Lord would not allow him to build the temple because he had blood on his hands, mm-hmm. God did not, he still had the favor of Yahweh. You know, he was still called the apple of God's eye.
Yes.
Solomon, who did not have blood on his hands, and those who followed eventually lost God's favor because, not because they broke some of the laws, but because they turned after other gods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Verse 15. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in all that you undertake to do until you are destroyed and perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence stick to you until he has consumed you off the land that you are entering to take possession of it. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease and with fever, inflammation and fiery heat, and with drought and with blight and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. And the heavens over your head shall be bronze, and the earth under you shall be iron. The Lord will make the rain of your land powder. From heaven, dust shall come down on you until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall be a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. And your dead body shall be food for all the birds, for all birds of the air and for the beasts of the earth. And there shall be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, and with tumors and scabs and itch, of which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of mind, and you shall grope at noonday as the blind grope in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways. And you shall be only oppressed and robbed continually, and there shall be no one to help you. You shall betroth a wife, but another man shall ravish her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you shall not enjoy its fruit. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat any of it. Your donkey shall be seized before your face, but you shall not be restored, but shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, but there shall be no one to help you. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, while your eyes look on and fail with longing for them all day long, but you shall be helpless. A nation that you have not known shall eat up the fruit of your ground and of all your labors, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed continuously, so that you are driven mad by the sights that your eyes see. The Lord will strike you on the knees and on the legs with grievous boils of which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. The Lord will bring you and your king whom you set over you to a nation that neither you nor your fathers have known. And this actually happens when they are carried off to Babylon.
Yes.
And there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone, and you shall become a horror, a proverb, and a byword among all the peoples where the Lord will lead you away. You shall carry much seed into the field and shall gather in little, for the locust shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and dress them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olives will drop off. You shall father sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. The cricket shall possess all your trees and the fruit of your ground. The sojourner who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be in the head, and you, or he shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. All these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that he commanded you. They shall be a sign and a wonder against you and your offspring forever. Because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart, because of the abundance of all things, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you, in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and lacking in everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from far away, from the end of the earth, swooping down like an eagle, a nation whose language you do not understand, a hard-faced nation who shall not respect the old or show mercy to the young. This could
Sounds like Rome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be Greece as well, because they
fell to the
Greeks.
Well, swooping down like the eagle, the eagle was the symbol of Rome.
The legions, that's right. Okay.
And this did happen when Titus invaded.
That's right, yeah. It shall eat the offspring of your cattle and the fruit of your ground until you are destroyed. It shall also not leave you grain, wine, or oil, the increase of your herds or the young of your flock until they have caused you to perish. They shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted come down throughout all your land. And they shall besiege you in all your towns throughout all your land, which the Lord your God has given you. And you shall eat the fruit of your womb, the flesh of your sons and daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you, in the siege and in the distress with which your enemies shall distress you.
And this occurred, it's actually recorded in 2 Kings chapter 6.
Yeah, verses 28 and 29. Also Isaiah 9.
Yep. And I believe Josephus also refers to during the time of Titus' invasion that there was cannibalism going on then too.
Yeah, it's gruesome. But again, because they fell away from the Lord, these things did come to pass. Deuteronomy 28, beginning at verse 54. The man who is the most tender and refined among you will begrudge food to his brother, to the wife he embraces, and to the last of the children whom he has left, so that he will not give to any of them any of the flesh of his children whom he is eating, because he has nothing else left in the siege and in the distress with which your enemy shall distress you in all your towns. The most tender and refined woman among you, who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground because she is so delicate and tender, will begrudge to the husband she embraces, to her son and to her daughter, her afterbirth that comes out from between her feet and her children whom she bears, because lacking everything, she will eat them secretly in the siege and in the distress with which your enemy shall distress you in your towns. If you are not careful to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring on you and your offspring extraordinary afflictions, afflictions severe and lasting, and sicknesses grievous and lasting. And he will bring upon you again all the diseases of Egypt, of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Every sickness also, and every affliction that is not recorded in the book of this law, the Lord will bring upon you until you are destroyed. Whereas you were as numerous as the stars of heaven, you shall be left few in number, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And as the Lord took delight in doing you good and multiplying you, so the Lord will take delight in bringing ruin upon you and destroying you. And you shall be plucked off the land that you are entering to take possession of it. And the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your fathers have known. And among these nations you shall find no respite, and there shall be no resting place for the sole of your foot. But the Lord will give you there a trembling heart and failing eyes and a languishing soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. Night and day you shall be in dread and have no assurance of your life. In the morning you shall say, if only it were evening. And at evening you shall say, if only it were morning, because of the dread that your heart shall feel and the sights that your eyes shall see. And the Lord will bring you back in ships to Egypt, a journey that I promised that you should never make again. And there you shall offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer.
Again, I believe that was fulfilled in Titus as well, and I believe Josephus refers to that.
Mm-hmm.
You can, if you don't have a copy of Josephus, amazing histories of the Jews written by that gentleman, and you can usually find a site online that has all of it there.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's gone into public domain, so
lots of folks
publish it. Do we have time?
We're only at 35 minutes.
Imagine that, and we blathered away. Deuteronomy chapter 29. These are the words of the covenant that the Lord commanded Moses to make with the people of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant that he had made with them at Horeb. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, they're in Moab, by the way, in case you've sort of lost track of
this. This is still at Mount Nebo.
Right. On the other side of
Jericho.
And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, the great trials that your eyes saw, the signs and those great wonders. But to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to understand or eyes to hear or ears to hear. That's an interesting verse.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to understand or ears to hear, eyes to see or ears to hear. This is repeated in the book of Revelation. If you have ears mm-hmm. to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Clearly, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand and discern, and the Holy Spirit was not given universally to everybody in the Old Testament. It was generally given to prophets and leaders and to special individuals singled out by God to point to him and to help the people to understand his laws.
Mm-hmm.
However, we are blessed through Jesus Christ and his sacrificial work on Calvary and his resurrection. He has given us access to the Holy Spirit as members of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So those things that we look at, in retrospect and say, why couldn't you understand that? Well, they didn't have that special understanding.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have access to the scriptures the way you and I do.
Mm-hmm.
What a blessed we have. What a blessing we have. And we just sort of toss it away. Well, I'll read that later.
Yeah, exactly. And it reminds me of the demand for signs that Jesus was given in his day. And they did have these scriptures then. They had
mm-hmm. oh, yes.
the Torah at this point. And Jesus responded and said, look, you've got Moses and all the prophets, and if they didn't believe them, they're not going to believe me.
Yeah.
And today, we're the same way. We still see people, well, if God could do this, then why can't he do that? I mean, if God is, then why is there bad things happening in the world? Look, it's all here. It's in the Word, okay?
Yeah.
And if you're not going to believe it, then nothing that you and I say, and we aren't going to be able to pound it into somebody's head who is not truly has a spirit open to receive it.
Right.
Yeah.
Verse 4, but to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to understand or eyes to see or ears to hear. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you and your sandals have not worn off your feet. Amazing.
Hmm.
If only our clothes were, lasted that long.
And that they were still complaining about stuff.
I know.
It's like, what?
You haven't had to, weave any cloth or anything.
Yeah.
Have you not eaten bread and have you not drunk wine or strong drink?
No, you have not eaten
You have not eaten. Let me come in again. You have not eaten bread and you have not drunk wine or strong drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. And when you came to this place, Sihon the king of Heshbon and Og the king of Bashan came out against us to battle, but we defeated them. We took their land and gave it for an inheritance to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of the Manassites. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do.
Just a quick rabbit trail. There was a story in June of this year. In fact, I was just looking at this last night. A group of people, several thousand, who live in northeastern India, who have been DNA tested, genetically tested, and show the similar markers from other people who are Jews.
I've seen those stories.
Yes,
yeah.
And they have this long tradition going back 2,500 years. 2,700 years, that they are of the tribe of Manasseh that went into exile when the Assyrians came in and destroyed the northern kingdom, Samaria. Mm-hmm. And they preserved in their oral histories the wanderings that they had after they left Assyria. They wandered as far as China and then came back to where they currently were able to settle and carve out a life in India. And they've got certain rituals and things that have been preserved that are distinctly Jewish in character, and now they are making Aliyah, and they are being repatriated. And that the story that was from June of this year was a group of these people at the tomb of Joseph in, which is now, you know, was set on fire. Yes. Recently in the Intifada, but basically just weeping openly as they came back and they're trying to move the rest of these folks from northeastern India.
How wonderful.
To Israel by the year 2020.
So, oh my goodness. Yeah.
Just a sign that we're getting closer to the end.
Yes, indeed, because God promised he would bring them from the four corners of the earth.
Yeah.
Verse 9, therefore keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. You are standing today, all of you, before the Lord your God, the heads of your tribes, your elders, and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the sojourner who is in your camp, from the one who chops your wood to the one who draws your water, so that you may enter into the sworn covenant of the Lord your God, which the Lord your God is making with you today, that he may establish you today as his people. Again, this is for all of the gods to see.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that he may be your God, as he promised you, and as he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. It is not with you alone that I am making this sworn covenant, but with whoever is standing here with us today before the Lord our God, and with whoever is not here with us today. Mm-hmm. You know how we lived in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the midst of the nations through which you passed. And you have seen these, their detestable things, their idols of wood and stone, of silver and gold, which were among them. Beware lest there be any among you, a man or a woman or clan or tribe, whose heart is turning away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations. Beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit, one who, when he hears the words of this sworn covenant, blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall be safe, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart.
How different from, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death.
Exactly. Yeah. He doesn't know about me.
Mm-hmm.
My precious. This will lead to the sweeping away of moist and dry alike. In other words, if he's doing this and you don't catch him, get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
It's all going to come down on
exactly.
your heads.
Right.
The Lord will not be willing to forgive him, but rather the anger of the Lord and his jealousy will smoke against that man, and the curses written in this book will settle upon him, and the Lord will blot out his name from under heaven, and the Lord will single him out from all the tribes of Israel for calamity, in accordance with all the curses of the covenant written in this book of the law. And the next generation, your children who rise up after you, and the foreigner who comes from a far land, will say, when they see the afflictions of that land and the sicknesses with which the Lord has made it sick, the whole land burned out with brimstone and salt, nothing sown and nothing growing where no plant can sprout, an overthrow like that of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, when the Lord overthrew in his anger and wrath, all the nations will say, why has the Lord done thus to this land? What caused the heat of this great anger? Then people will say, it is because they abandoned the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them out of the land of Egypt and went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they had not known and whom he had not allotted to them.
Interesting there, because that refers to the allocation of the nations to the 70 B'nai Elohim, the sons of God.
Which we're
going
to get to in chapter 32.
Exactly, after the Tower of Babel incident. So, again, God just reminding them, you are specially allocated to Yahweh. The other nations have been allotted to their gods, to Dagon and Molech and Chemosh and Baal and so forth, but you are mine, so...
Amen. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land, bringing upon it all the curses written in this book. And the Lord uprooted them from their land in anger and fury and great wrath, and cast them into another land, as they are this day.
Hmm. Interesting prophecy there.
Yes.
There are some scholars who would speculate that that line was added later when Israel was in
But there are other places where Moses is clearly being given prophecy.
That was the but that I was going to come to.
Sorry about that.
Is prophetic. You know, they were told, they were warned in advance. This is what's going to happen to you. And this is what they will say on that day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law.
That's a great verse. I like that verse a lot.
Me too.
The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law.
Deuteronomy 29:29.
Yeah. We got time for chapter 30 here. Beginning at verse 1, and when all these things have come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God has driven you, and return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today, with all your heart and with all your soul, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you, and he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. Now, there are some who will say that the current nation of Israel can't be a fulfillment of this prophecy in the beginning of Deuteronomy 30 because they're not living according to... In other words, they're saying, we don't think that they fulfill the requirements, and so this restoration of Israel can't be God's chosen people.
But this is just the first phases of the restoration of Israel. The full restoration... commences when Christ Jesus rules from Jerusalem.
Exactly. And it also ignores the fact that there are places elsewhere in Scripture. And I think Amos chapter 9, if I remember correctly, and then Jeremiah 30, I believe. I knew this a couple of weeks ago because I had to look it up. Anyway, there are places where...
I see the little spinning on your forehead.
Yes, the little
accessing
colored
files,
circle.
Trying to get to those files. Sorry, can't access.
That where the restoration is unconditional.
Yes.
So, you know, God says, I will restore, because there will always be, in the latter days, God will bring them back to the land. Mm-hmm. And it's not conditional, as we're reading here in Deuteronomy 30. Verse 4, if your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will take you. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, that you may possess it. And he will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all of your soul, and with all that you may live. And the Lord your God will put these... Sorry, the scroll jumped in a funny way here. And the Lord your God will put all these... let's see. Sorry about that.
No,
verse 6. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. And the Lord your God will put all these curses on your foes and enemies who persecuted you. And you shall again obey the voice of the Lord and keep all his commandments that I command you today.
Well, you know, this actually is a really good way of explaining the things that happen during the tribulation period and the war of that we often refer to as Armageddon. Mm-hmm. Again, Michael S. Heiser translates it just ever so slightly differently, and he's going to be on Skywatch TV with Derek and discuss this in January. But the Lord plans to fulfill all of this. All these curses are going on the rest of the nations.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Verse 9, the Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, as he took delight in your fathers, when you obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that are written in this book of the law, when you turn to the Lord your God with all of your heart and all your soul. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away, and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, again, that's the line. That's the red line. If you are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them.
Again, Moses knew that he was about to die.
Mm-hmm.
And as he gave these speeches, it just must have killed him.
Yeah, because he knew that things were...
he knew, and God knew.
Yeah.
God, you know, it's like when, and Derek and I've said this many times, when you say to your child, okay, don't do these things because that's against the rules of this household. And if you do these things, then there will be, you know, punishment. Sorry, mm-hmm. but that's the way it works.
Yeah.
And in society, it's the same way. There are laws that you have to obey. And if you disobey the laws, there is a punishment for that.
Mm-hmm.
As a parent, it's really hard to do the punishment.
Yeah.
If it feels that way to us, how must it feel to the Lord God Almighty?
Yeah, it's a little insight into the feeling that he must have had watching, well, throughout all of history.
Yes.
From the very beginning at the garden,
mm-hmm.
how his creation. And again, this is a question that will pop up sometimes. Well, why did God even create humans knowing that we would do these things?
That's a good question. And honestly, as a human being, I'm not so sure I would have, but I'm just human.
Right, right. If we could totally apprehend and understand and comprehend everything that God thinks and does and is, he wouldn't be much of a God.
No, he would not.
Or by implication, we'd be saying that we are, in fact, godlike.
But, you know, in a very, very yeah. small way, you could ask a parent, why did you have that child, knowing that child would probably grow up and do things and, you know, jump in your face and yell at you and walk away from you and ignore you and
yeah.
And lead a life that is absolutely against everything you believe in.
Yeah.
And yet you had that baby.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't you create a child that would totally...
a race of Superman.
Yeah. Obey everything that you said and wanted to do. Well, we got about 7 minutes left. Do you think we want to try chapter 31 or just hold that for next week?
Hold on. Let me see if I can move to chapter 31 quickly enough to get there. I can. We have this wonderful satellite that serves up data throughout the month, and generally by the time we get to this point in the month, we're well over our data cap.
Yeah, we've exceeded our cap. But
this month, for some reason, it's even though it's throttling us, it's still serving up web.
They might be listening.
Okay.
They
what?
They'll turn off the tap.
Deuteronomy 31. So Moses continued to speak these words to all Israel, and he said to them, you just turned up my head.
I did. Sorry, it was getting a little loud for my ears.
Oh,
tinnitus is...
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. And he said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in. The Lord has said to me, you shall not go over this Jordan. The Lord your God himself will go over before you. He will destroy these nations before you so that you shall dispossess them. And Joshua will go over at your head, as the Lord has spoken. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. And the Lord will give them over to you, and you shall do to them according to the whole commandment that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous." This, by the way, is a phrase that will be said to Joshua many times. Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Then Moses wrote this law and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, at the end of every 7 years, at the set time in the year of release, at the Feast of Booths, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Assemble the people, men, women, and little ones, and the sojourner within your towns, that they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, and be careful to do all the words of this law, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land that you are going over the Jordan to possess. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tent of meeting, that I may commission him." And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tent of meeting. And the Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood over the entrance of the tent. What a sight that had to be. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, you are about to lie down with your fathers. Then this people will rise and whore after the foreign gods among them in the land that they are entering, and they will forsake me and break my covenant that I have made with them. Then my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them, and they will be devoured. And many evils and troubles will come upon them, so that they will say in that day, 'Have not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us?' And I will surely hide my face in that day because of all the evil that they have done, because they have turned to other gods. Now therefore write this song and teach it to the people of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the people of Israel. For when I have brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, which I swore to give their fathers, and they have eaten and are full and grown fat, they will turn to other gods and serve them, and despise me, and break my covenant. And when many evils and troubles have come upon them, this song shall comfort them as a witness, for it will live unforgotten in the mouths of their offspring. For I know what they are inclined to do even today, before I have brought them into the land that I swore to give." So Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the people of Israel.
And he says in verse 21, the word is confront them as a witness rather than comfort them. So it
comfort sounds strange. But you know, knowing that the Lord will turn back eventually,
yes, eventually.
That is a comfort.
Yes.
And the Lord commissioned Joshua the son of Nun and said, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you." When Moses had finished writing the words of this law in a book to the very end, Moses commanded the Levites who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, "Take this book of the law and put it by the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against you. For I know how rebellious and stubborn you are. Behold, even today, while I am yet alive with you, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? Assemble to me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to witness against them. For I know that after my death, you will surely act corruptly and turn aside from the way that I have commanded you. And in the days to come, evil will befall you, because you will do what is evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger through the work of your hands. Then Moses spoke the words of this song until they were finished in the ears of all the assembly of Israel. And we will have to cover that song next week.
Yeah, Deuteronomy 32 coming next week. And of course, that will include the verses 8 and 9, which explains and gives context to the whole divine counsel paradigm.
You might say it's the key to understanding the Bible.
It really is. It really is. And that's not going too far to say as much.
No, it is not. And if you want to prepare for that between now and next Sunday, or if you're, you know, whenever deciding to binge listen to these things and you want to take a break and read this, we will put a link. Derek will put a link if he's so kind to do so. Michael S. Heiser has written a number of essays mm-hmm. about the divine counsel, and this will give you a leg up on understanding Deuteronomy 32.
He's got a website, thedivinecounsel.com, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes at gilberthouse.org.
Org. Anyway, yeah.
Come! And it gives you, he's got some good introductory essays there that explain the divine counsel paradigm and why we keep referring to it. Essentially, we'll discuss it in more depth next week. But Sharon's right. It really is the key to understanding the narrative of the Old Testament, especially, but the whole biblical narrative was continuing to run on the sentence there after I'd made my point. It's just kind of winding down there. But that's because
let's go have some coffee.
Gone past an hour, and so the words are expiring here. We'll close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word, which guides us and instructs us. And Lord, we just pray for a deeper understanding of your word, that we would grasp the scope and the intensity of the spiritual war that has been waging in the heavenlies since the beginning of time. Lord, we can only, we begin to sense as we read his words out loud, the anguish that Moses must have felt, knowing as you revealed to him that the people of Israel, who've been his charge for so many years, were going to go astray in spite of the many works and wonders that you had performed for them since bringing them out of Egypt. Lord, we are so far removed from that day, and yet we are no less your children than the people of Israel. As the New Testament tells us, the Apostle Paul writes, you have seen fit to graft us into that vine which you planted, and Lord, of which you are the root. Father, we pray that we would accept that status with humility and with wonder, knowing that it's only through your sacrifice that we have been grafted in and that we have been saved. Father, we pray for understanding and for the courage to live according to your word and your will as we go out into the world, a world that is becoming increasingly hostile to you and to those who follow you. Father, we pray for your blessing on those who seek your face. Again, we ask for wisdom and understanding. And Father, we pray for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us. We post a new Bible study each Sunday morning. Join the discussion at the Gilbert House Fellowship page on Facebook. Subscribe to our podcast feed and explore the archives online at gilberthouse.org.
Trouble sometimes are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humbling your